Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Consider the shepherds. The Lord chose them to be the very first witnesses to the birth of Jesus. That is, the very first other than Mary and Joseph themselves. The very first other than the animals who may have possibly been in the stable. They were simple men, common folk. They were given the task of watching over animals, not really the most luxurious of jobs. If you know anybody who works with animals, you know that they're probably rather smelly at the end of the day. Because the truth is that animals stink. And so these men were nothing too special. That is, until God gave them a great gift. But first, what I want you to consider is when the angel appears to them, consider the fear they must have felt. Why? Well, because these men understood routine, right? Sheep go out into pasture. Sheep eat, sheep flock. Sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The stars and moon rule the night. The sun rules the day. And the truth is, it's not too hard for us to understand what a routine is. I'm certain that all of you have at least some sort of routine, either in the morning or before going to bed or before eating a meal, or at some point in the day you go through routine, right? For me, alarm clock goes off, reluctantly crawl out of bed, take a shower, brush my teeth, drink my coffee, grab something to eat, and head off to work. We all have a routine. And so when the angels appear to these shepherds, they're rightly afraid because they're driven by this routine. And the angels appearing is not part of it. It's not like every night they could sort of expect the angels to somehow appear in the midst of the darkness. No, this whole thing just throws them off entirely. Because what's happening is literally the supernatural, that is what cannot be explained, is breaking in to their natural routine. You see, it's not as if they accidentally forgot to brush their teeth and they can just sort of explain it as a slip of the mind. No, this is something that is literally unexplainable. Something that if they tell their friends about it later, no one is going to believe them. An angel appears. And what's more, but then that angel is accompanied by a heavenly host, a great multitude of angels. Something that could only be attributed to God himself. And the angels tell them to fear not. Fear not. Why? Because a Savior has been born to you. And then as the text continues, we get to consider their enthusiasm. Right? The text tells us that they went with haste. That means quickly. The shepherd's faith is such that they couldn't wait to see this Christ child. They hear the angel's proclamation into their ears, and it's not as if they sort of looked at each other and went, yeah, I guess we could probably go check that out. No, it was more like they all sort of just were unbelievable and sort of struck by this whole situation, that they sort of stared at each other and immediately all had the same idea at the same time. Let's go! Let's get out of this stupid field. Let's leave these animals behind. We need to see Jesus. And they run as fast as their shepherd legs can take them. And they do. They hear the proclamation from the angels. They believe the words and they go. And they are blessed to be those first human witnesses to the birth of Jesus. But after receiving that sort of blessing, it's interesting because the text actually tells us what they do after they visit Jesus. After they get to see him with their eyes and they get to understand and believe that the angels, what they had told, was true. And so for the last part, what I want you to do is consider their vocation. You see, these men, they were visited by the angels. They were believing. They were excited. But they go back. They leave the presence of Jesus and they go right back to the field from which they came. You know, the next day they probably woke up took the sheep out into the pasture. Sheep eat, sheep flock. Sun rises in the east and sets in the west. They literally go back to their lives. But they do it glorifying and praising God. And so this evening, I want you to consider what the supernatural means for you. The truth is that you probably won't be surrounded by a heavenly host. There probably won't be any glory of the Lord shining through the ceiling this evening. But there are things that happen in this life that are totally unexplainable. Some things that if you tell the rest of the world, they'll tell you that they are just simply unbelievable. Like how simple water of baptism can give you salvation. How a pastor can say some simple words over bread and wine and they turn into Jesus' body and blood. Or how the word of God that is written down in a book, where human authors were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and somehow it's God's word. And it has greater power than any of us realize. These things, they give forgiveness, life, and salvation. Because they connect us to Jesus. His birth, of course, just like the shepherds were connected through the proclamation of the angels, but also to his death and his resurrection. Supernatural. It means it cannot be explained by nature. And that's exactly what these things are. They are supernatural. And they're all true. The truth is that God gives you promises that allow you to make the supernatural a part of your routine. Not something you need to be surprised by, not something that's going to catch you off guard, but you have the opportunity to have the supernatural come to you every single week. Consider your enthusiasm. The shepherds go with haste. But is your faith such as the shepherds? You know, I mentioned how I reluctantly crawl out of bed every morning, and the truth is that I do that on Sunday too. I reluctantly crawl out of bed. But on Sunday morning, shouldn't we have total excitement? Well, I guess I should probably go. No. Shouldn't we sort of exchange glances with those around us and say, "Let's go! Let's get out of this house. Let's get in our car and take it as fast as, well, maybe not as fast, we have to obey the speed limit, but let's take it as quickly as is legally possible to the church so that we can be in the presence of Jesus Christ, exactly where God has promised to be, exactly where the supernatural breaks into the natural with baptism and the Lord's Supper and the preached word." We should have enthusiasm for the gospel. We should be excited to hear it. Because the truth is that it's everything. It's everything about receiving Jesus. It's everything about strengthening our faith. It's what keeps us in the faith and ensures that we will be in the faith from now until the point when Jesus comes again or he calls us to himself in heaven. And after all, isn't that what Advent's all about? Even Christmas? It's the coming of Jesus. Jesus coming to give you himself. Well, Jesus was born into this world so that he could die for you too. You see, this is what Christmas really is. It's about a Savior coming to serve you. And our Savior is such that he serves you with his death. And he serves you with his blood. And he serves you with his resurrection. To conquer the world for you. To conquer maybe lack of enthusiasm. To conquer fear. To conquer everything that might harm us, including your sin. My friends, your sins are forgiven in Jesus conquering death and resurrection. And you have eternal life now. Thanks be to God. But that brings us to the last part of the shepherds, their vocation. And tonight I want you to consider your vocation. You see, because just as the shepherds received from the Lord's presence, you too have received from the Lord's presence tonight. And you will receive from the Lord's presence again on Saturday night when you come back for Christmas Eve service. And you will receive from the Lord's presence again on Christmas Day. But the truth is that as much as you receive from the Lord when you come to the church, you need to leave His presence. You need to leave the place where you receive His gifts. Not that He's ever away from you, for the Lord has promised to always be with you by virtue of your baptism. But the truth is that you can't live in the church. You need to leave. You need to return to your families and friends. You need to return to your jobs and your hobbies. You need to go back to where you came from before you walked through the door of the church. But when you do, return glorifying and praising God. Return to your lives knowing everything that Jesus has done for you. Return to tell others of what Jesus has done for the whole world. Return knowing that He came to be born as a baby, to live the perfect life, to shed His blood and die, and to pick it up again. Return knowing that, because with that in mind, there is no end to our glorifying and praising the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.